Well, tonight we want to talk, we're in between books. We finished Esther, we're going to start the book of Acts. Thought we'd do that after the new year. And so in the meantime, I'd like to speak to you tonight about faith, and actually faith as displayed and defined in the Christmas story. And so let's take a look at Luke in chapter 1, starting at verse 17, the Christmas story, thinking about faith tonight. I always love the way the stories in the Old and New Testament really bring out principles that we need to learn about and kind of refine in to understand what things are about. Things like faith, big subject. But let's take a look now at Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 17. And I'm going to give you a little background here before we begin to read there. That actually a priest named Zechariah, who was very elderly, and his wife also passed menopause. She had passed the time of childbearing. They never had a child, and they'd been praying for years for a child. Well, Zechariah went in to minister before the Lord, and as he got in there, he was standing by the altar of incense, and lo and behold, Gabriel the angel appeared to him. And this is 6 months before Gabriel was sent to talk to Mary about having Jesus, and told him he was going to have a son. He should call his son's name John. And so there's a conversation that takes place between Zacharias, the priest, and the angel right there in the holy place of the tabernacle before the altar of incense. And as the angel is talking to Zacharias, he told him that he was going to have this son John. This son John was going to be a forerunner of the Messiah to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse 17, it says, he shall go before him, that is before Jesus, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And the way John the Baptist did that, he began to baptize people and they came confessing their sin. And that's how we get prepared for the Lord, is to confess our sin. So John the Baptist was sent in the spirit and power of Elijah, because in the Old Testament it says that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, Elijah would come. John the Baptist was a partial fulfillment of that. And John came and baptizing people, confessing their sin, getting ready for the Lord. And so that was a powerful thing that he was going to do. And so the angel is telling Zacharias, his daddy, this is exactly what he's going to do when he comes. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? In other words, I don't really believe this. And he gives the reason, for I'm an old man. My wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be dumb and not able to speak until the day that all these things be performed. Why? Because you didn't believe it. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And so here we see, and boy, you read this and you might just on first hand just think, Lord, that's just kind of harsh, isn't it? You know, give a guy a minute to believe, you know. The angel comes and says you're going to have this baby, and you've been praying for years for a baby, but you're too old to have a baby now, but you're going to have a baby. And you're going to call his name John, and he is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. And he just goes, this is heavy. And you know, I really can't believe this. And so the angel says, you're not going to be able to talk for 9 months till the baby comes, because you didn't believe it. Pretty hairy judgment going on there for this lack of faith. Well, I think it's the answer to that is really simple, is that the Lord is real serious about this thing called faith. With faith, you get into heaven. Without faith, you don't. So it's pretty serious matter, isn't it? It's a matter of life and death. And so the Lord deals very heavily here with this lack of faith in Zechariah. Now, in contrast to Zechariah, we get the response of Mary when the angel comes to her. And so let's go ahead and read now and go down to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, that is the six months later, after Elizabeth is pregnant. And so John the Baptist is Jesus Christ's cousin, because Elizabeth and Mary are cousins. And she got pregnant 6 months before Jesus was conceived. And so it says in the sixth month, the angel now Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, espousal, what is that? Espousal is actually, in the Jewish tradition, a partial engagement, mostly marriage situation. Because in those days, when an agreement was made, the marriage was as good as done, but for a whole year, they would not make love and have babies. And that's the espousal period. So it's kind of like our engagement period, when we get engaged and we're committed to the marriage, but the marriage doesn't take place till usually a year later. As a pastor, I would recommend that. You should, you know, wait a year to get married. When you decide to get married, you should wait a year and just let it settle in. But don't wait more than a year, because things get heavy duty after that, and things happen that shouldn't happen. I just want to warn you about that. As a pastor, I've been around pastoring for 28 years, seen a lot of water going to the bridge. So, you know, a year's good, just like in the Jewish tradition. But anyway, they're in the espousal period, legally married already, but not consummating the marriage for a year. So in that period of time, this is when the angel comes to Mary in the espousal period, to a virgin who was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now notice, Mary got afraid, but she wasn't rebuked or told that she couldn't speak for 9 months because she was afraid. God understands that. But he says, you know, I don't want you to be afraid. And we need to work on this. But it wasn't discipline at all. "So Mary, you have found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," which is actually Joshua in the Hebrew. Jesus is the Greek. Joshua is the Hebrew. It's Jehovah Shua, which means the Lord is salvation. So that's what Jesus' name means. It means that the Lord is salvation. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." You remember back in 1 Samuel, when we were studying in actually 2 Samuel, the Lord told David that he would establish his throne forever. And Jesus is a fulfillment of that. 28 generations after David, Jesus was born to the house and lineage of David. And this is the fulfillment of that promise. "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end, forever and ever." Then said Mary to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" I haven't made love to anybody. How can this happen? Now, Mary was not saying, "I don't believe it's going to happen," as Zechariah was saying. There's no way. I'm old. My wife's old. This is going to happen. So he was smote with not being able to speak for a year or for 9 months. But Mary is simply saying, "I believe it's going to happen, but how are you going to do this?" That's what she's saying. And Jesus asking that question. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren because she was past menopause. But with God, and we love this verse, don't we? Verse 37. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Oh, he wants our faith levels to rise up, to really believe that. As it's put in the Old Testament and in Samuel, is anything too hard for God? And here in the New Testament, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, I love this now, verse 38, so wonderful. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And so Mary, I mean, this little lady of faith, and many people believe she was as young as 16 years old, that she would just say, go for it. Be it done unto me according to your word. And so she was going ahead and by faith, accepting the word of the Lord to her, that this would come to pass. And so actually it's neat, for right here in the Christmas story, what do we get but an example of the definition of faith? And of course, we need to really take heart, because the Bible says several times, once in the Old Testament, a couple times, three times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. That's the way we're to live before the Lord. And so here is a beautiful contrast that we can see right in the Christmas story. Zechariah didn't believe. He was disciplined by God for that, because it's a very serious matter. Mary just simply said, be it done unto me according to your word. And oh, brothers and sisters, as we get into the word of God and you just sense your heart swelling and your faith levels rising, because faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God, and the Lord begins to speak to your heart about your life and about who you are in him and some of the promises that he wants you to grab, don't hesitate, don't doubt, don't look back, don't shrink away from those things, but just accept from the Lord that blessing. Accept from him that blessing that he wants to give you from his word. Pastor Chuck always says, and I worked on this for years and years, just keep working on it and keep working on it. He says, I expect a blessing from God every day of my life when I wake up. And at first you start thinking, well, that's kind of maybe imposing upon the Lord or something. But no, God loves that. God loves that, that we get into a realm of thinking nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible for God. And God, feel free to speak to me and help me to just receive it. Just receive it and believe it, and take that promise that we find in the word for ourselves personally. It's beautiful and wonderful, and the Lord is so glad to give it. And so here we see that contrast between Zechariah and Mary, who said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And you know, great, 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 28 times grandfather David did the same thing. When God said, David, you wanted to build me a house, I'm going to build you a house. And David said, who am I that you would do this? But Lord, let it please you to do of you as you have said unto your servant. That's the way David dealt with it. Go ahead, Lord, shower me with blessings. That's what David said, and that's what Mary said. And that's what you're supposed to say, and that's what I'm supposed to say to the Lord. And believe him and receive it. Now, let's take a look then at the straightforward definition of faith. Now, we're getting this fullness of the definition of faith through the example of Zechariah and Mary. Zechariah did the wrong way, Mary did the right way. Now, let's take a look at this written out for us in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let's go there. This is what faith is. And we're supposed to live by faith because we've been justified by Jesus and his blood on the cross. And so we're to live by faith. And it says, faith is this. If we had doing a math problem on the blackboard, oh, I mentioned math, I'm sorry. Some of you don't like math. But anyway, if you put an equal sign between faith and what's said next, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is equal sign. the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so faith dwells in the realm of things that haven't happened yet. And so when the angel said to Zechariah, you're going to have a son in 9 months, it hasn't happened yet. And he's doubtful because he's old and his wife is past the years of bearing. And so he doesn't believe it. But Mary is told she's going to have the Son of God, that the highest is going to overshadow her, being a virgin, and plant the Son of God in her womb. And she says, go for it, let it be. And so she is dwelling in the realm of faith. Why? Because she's believing something she hasn't seen yet, something that hasn't happened yet, something that she's going to begin to hope for now because it's been given to her. So this is the definition of faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The substance of things, the evidence of things not seen. It hasn't happened yet. And so God really does call us to that walk right there in our Christian walk. Now, we go on further with this. Because of this definition that we've established in looking at the Christmas story and looking at it actually written out as a definition in the Bible, we will often in our Christian walk find ourselves waiting. Do you ever wait? The Bible says, wait. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. Now, I really believe with all my heart that all the little waits that we have in our lives, waiting for a spouse, waiting for a job, waiting for the Lord to deliver me from this, that, or the other thing, waiting for my cousin to come to Jesus, waiting, waiting, waiting. All this waiting is all leading up to the big wait. And what's the big wait? We're waiting for Jesus to come back and end all this and take us to heaven. And as the little waits come true, our faith is increased to really get into the beauty and the blessing of the big wait. I know I'm a simple-minded person. That's the way I think, in a very simple way. And so you'll be waiting a lot, because waiting is really what happens when you're being tested in your faith, established in the faith, exercising your faith. If you never had an opportunity to exercise your faith through waiting on the Lord, it'd be like having $1 million in a bank in Switzerland and no stores to spend it in. What are you going to do? Just sit and twiddle your thumbs and go, I'm sure glad I have $1 million in that bank account in Switzerland. And so the Lord needs to create situations in your life, waiting games. I shouldn't say games, because it's not a game to the Lord to test our faith. It's a precious thing. It's precious, more precious than fine gold, tried in the fire, so that our faith might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God builds faith and tests faith and works with faith and asks us to wait. We sing a lot of songs about that. Wait upon the Lord. You know, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We learn to wait on the Lord. Now, Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now, after 40 days, Jesus was brought to the temple by his parents with a pair of turtle doves, which really shows that they were poor, because the Jewish law in Leviticus says you should bring a lamb. Well, they did bring a lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God, right? To be dedicated to the Lord. But if you can't afford a lamb, then bring a couple of turtle doves because you're poor. And what did they bring to dedicate Jesus? A pair of turtle doves. It says that they were a poor family. And Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. So praise the Lord. And so they weren't a rich family. But anyway, as they came with the two turtle doves to sacrifice before the Lord and to dedicate Jesus to the Lord at the temple, behold, verse 25, Luke 2, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting, displaying his faith for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, the consolation of Israel is just, it's a big word. It just simply says waiting to see the Messiah. He was waiting to see the one that would come and save his people from their sins. Now, how did he know that he was going to be able to see this Messiah? God had spoken to him. Verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Christ is the Greek. Messiah is the Hebrew for the same thing, which means anointed one of God, the one that would come to save his people from their sins. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms. He just grabbed Jesus. Imagine that. Simeon is just so blessed. He just grabbed Jesus and he blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also. Mary, you're going to have to stand at the cross and watch your son die. Simeon saw that, knew it, and went ahead and said, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, I read what Simeon said here at the end. Our point tonight is really talking about the waiting. He was waiting. He was displaying faith. God had spoken to his heart that he wouldn't die until he saw the Christ. And so he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting on the Lord for God to fulfill that promise which God gave him in his heart. Now, I'd like to go ahead, though, and see what Simeon said here, because we sang a song tonight about this very thing, and Kathy stopped to say to you about brokenness, and we sang the song about brokenness. This explains what Simeon had to say. For Simeon blessed them and said this, this child is set, this is verse 34, for the fall, brokenness, falling on the rock and being broken, the fall, and the rising again of many in Israel. First, we're broken before the Lord on the rock, and then we're risen up by the Lord to walk in resurrected living. We saw it with Peter when Jesus told Peter to cast his net on the other side of the ship, and he did, and he caught a whole bunch of big fish. Peter fell on his knees before the living Christ. The fall. It's just so graphic with Peter. Peter always explains it graphically for us. He fell on his knees before the Lord. He said, depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. The fall. Recognizing his depravity and his sin. And Jesus said, arise, Peter. Because you're no longer going to catch fish. You're going to catch men. And he gave him his ministry, rose him up from off his knees. And so you see this child, Jesus, that came, is set for the fall, as we are broken before the Lord, as we confess sin before the Lord, and rising again, as God raises us up and gives us our ministry and says, go forth, arise. And so that is what that scripture means, and it's so beautiful that God brings it to us there, even through Simeon, right at the dedication of Jesus at the temple. Now, we see here Simeon waiting on the Lord for the consolation of Israel, because God had given him a word about that. Now, let's go to the Old Testament at the first mention of the just shall live by faith. Let's go to Habakkuk. Now, if you look real hard, you'll find Habakkuk. Now, don't be lazy about this. Now, Habakkuk is in the Bible, I promise you. And you want to shake his hand when you get to heaven and say, you know, I actually read your book. So, yeah, let's go now. Now, go towards the end of the Old Testament, and you go past Nahum. Nahum is real small. Micah's before Nahum. And you're getting close to the New Testament. And all of a sudden, out of the sky blue yonder, you've got Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is only three chapters, so it's kind of small, and you might get lost. It's right before Zephaniah. Zephaniah is a little longer. You've got, it isn't either. Zephaniah is shorter. Okay, then Haggai is after Zephaniah. And then you got Zechariah, which is long. Zechariah is like 14 chapters. So if you find Zechariah, go back to just a few little books. Haggai. And we want to go to chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 of Haggai. Habakkuk. What am I saying? Okay, chapter 2 of Habakkuk, verses 3 and 4. And we see this waiting situation connected with faith right here in Habakkuk. Now the Lord speaks to Habakkuk and says, you know what I'm going to do, Habakkuk? I'm going to bring the Babylonian Empire, the Chaldeans, against Jerusalem. And I'm going to bring Jerusalem down. And the reason God did this, we're told very clearly in Jeremiah, that he tears down to build up. That happens sometimes in our lives. We go through a tearing down, so God can now plant and rebuild in our lives. And Habakkuk was so bummed out about this vision that he had in chapter 1, that he just says, you know what, I'm going to go up into my tower, and I'm going to sit there until God explains all this to me. And in verse 3, the Lord says to Habakkuk, the vision is yet for an appointed time. In other words, it's still in the future. He's going to ask him to have faith about it. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. This is verse 3 of chapter 2 of Habakkuk. Though it tarry, and here's the word, wait. Habakkuk, calm down and wait and see what I will do. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Well, the Lord has really used this very scripture many times for me when, you know, I'm just tired of waiting for Jesus to come back, you know. He says, you know what? The vision will come. That appointed time will come and will not tarry. But wait, just wait. Wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. In other words, Habakkuk, you're being a little prideful here and not trusting me. And of course, Zechariah was being a little prideful, was saying, what do you mean? What are you talking about? You know. And so, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but verse 4 here, the end. The just shall live by faith. You've got to trust me. Oh, the Lord says you have to do that. You've got to do it. He that comes to God must believe that God is and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I have to believe that and not fall to the lies of the enemy and the enemy trying to take me down by telling me that God has no good plan for me and things aren't going to work out and this thing is too dark and too black to ever be good. No. I must live by faith. This is first mention. Always important when you have a verse of first mention in the Bible. The just shall live by his faith. And so Habakkuk took that to heart. God bless him. You know, a wise man receives instruction. And all of us can receive instruction tonight too. Habakkuk took this to heart. And he came to a place of great blessing at the end of this book. And let's take a look at that. Chapter 3 of Habakkuk, verse 17 and 18 and 19 are the last three verses in the whole book. And Habakkuk says this, although the fig tree shall not blossom, the Lord had showed him a pretty hairy vision of what's going to happen to Israel as Nebuchadnezzar came against it. And he has now entered into a faith about it. He's going to trust God. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And actually, translated literally from the Hebrew, this means I will spin around with joy in the Lord. Spin around. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And this Hebrew word can actually mean jump for joy. The Lord is my strength, no matter what comes. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hind's feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places. The chief singer of stringed instruments is making a song and all. But hind's feet, okay, what's a hind? It's a mountain goat. And it's very sure-footed. Thank you very much. I heard that. Sure-footed. In really rocky, skinny little places up in the high mountains. And so it could go to high heights because it was so sure-footed. And this is what Habakkuk is saying. Even though the vision was hard to swallow, and at first I was lifted up in my own pride and not wanting to wait on the Lord and wait for the vision and wait for God, what God was going to do. And of course, God's ultimate plan is to build up. Now, I'm so blessed with just the presence of a living God and his exhortation that I should just believe him and just have faith in him. I feel like a mountain goat in the high heights with such sure feet that I'm not coming down to the pit. Thank you very much, devil. I don't think I'll go to the pit today, but I'm going to stay in the heights with the Lord up there with the sure feet on the mountain, believing God's word and believing the goodness of the Lord and how much he loves me and that his plans for me are not for evil but for good. And so all these bad things might happen, I'm going to spin around in the Lord and jump for joy. Let's put a little action to that. Let me stand up for a minute. We never stand up anymore. Let's stand up. Okay. It's 8:05. We're going to do this for 20 minutes. No, I'm kidding. Okay. What does spin around mean? Can you do that where you are in the pews? I don't know. Just spin around. Okay. And the other one is jump for joy. Now, how does that feel? That feels good. You can sit down. This is what Habakkuk's doing. Because he's learned to what? Wait on the Lord. Lord, this is hairy, but it's going to be interesting to see how you get us out of this. And I'm just going to wait on you. Wait on the Lord. Sometimes we get impatient, don't we? But oh, we've got to work that out and not let impatience completely ruin us and take us away. It's not good. The Lord doesn't want you there. But the Lord wants you to learn the waiting. And as we learn the waiting, we're demonstrating to him faith. And the demonstration of faith is really brought to an apex when we're able to thank him and truly rejoice, spin around in him and jump for joy, even though the situation is not solved. You know, my son had a wonderful experience and he gave me permission to share this. But Pastor Chuck has this testimony that he has shared for years, and it's always blessed all of us. And James heard it for the first time on the radio, and it's just simply a testimony about how he needed some money, and him and his wife Kay were short of money, and they were really kind of depressed about that, and they thought they could go to the mailbox and get the money, but that didn't work. Nothing came in the mail. But then a man called and said, you know, you guys, I put some money in the mail for you yesterday. It should come tomorrow. And then Chuck begins to rejoice. And so then the Lord spoke to him and said, you believe his word more than you believe my word. He says, well, he called on the phone and told me. He said, well, I've written it in my Bible that I supply all your needs in Christ Jesus, according to the riches in Christ Jesus. And so you should be praising me for the provision before it even happens because of my word. Just like you're jumping up and down, jumping for joy now because of this man's word over the phone. You believed his word over my word. And it convicted Chuck. Well, my son at that very instance was having this huge financial trial, you know. And it was the most amazing thing because he took that to heart from Chuck over the radio, and he started thanking God for the provision. And then he went and got the mail. And there was a check for, I forget how much it was, but it was exactly what it needed. That's the way God always does, isn't it? And what a blessing. What a blessing. And so this is what Habakkuk learned, didn't he? He just said, you know what? Though the vine has no grapes, and nothing's coming up from the ground, and there's nobody in the stalls where the flock should be, I'm going to spin around in the Lord and jump for joy in him. Because God is my protector, my provider. He's watching over me. There's many promises that he's given to me about my life. He's not going to dump me now. No way. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. And so I can go ahead and trust him and wait. Just wait for the solutions, because the solutions will come to any troubles and things that I face. And it is beautiful to see it when it comes. And then we go sky high. Oh, Lord, I should have trusted you. I will never not trust you again. And he goes, right. It's just the way we are. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Oh, the Lord is good. Well, I want to, before we leave this subject tonight, I want to give you one of the most important things that we know we have to wait for by faith. One of the most important things that is so good for us to know that we've got to wait for by faith to encourage us in our walks with the Lord. And so that's found in Galatians 5:5. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. Any guesses on the way? Galatians 5:5. Galatians 5:5. Man, when I found this verse and just understood what it meant, it just was so liberating. And I hope this verse sets you free tonight. I hope this verse absolutely liberates your brains and your heart and puts you into a spinning around rejoicing attitude, whether you do it physically or not. Galatians 5:5 says this, We through the Spirit wait. For what? For the hope of righteousness by faith. It's very discouraging for the believer, especially the serious-minded believer, to see that I'm not perfect yet. That bums me out. Whether I confess it, you know, in my mind or not, my heart hurts every time I make a boo-boo. It just makes me mad sometimes that I thought that thought or said that word I shouldn't have said or got mad when I shouldn't have got mad, got on somebody's case when I should have cut them some slack, or cut somebody some slack I should have got on their case. You know, that works two ways. That the Lord's got to lead us, but we make mistakes, and most of us make mistakes every single day. And it can really get discouraging. And it leads to thinking, I don't deserve the promises of God. And I believe that's one of the biggest things the enemy will use. You, slime ball, you think God's going to keep a good promise to you? Just slither back in the mud, you know, and the devil will start on you about this kind of thinking. But you always have to come back to the fact, like it says in the book of Galatians, don't frustrate the grace of God. Jesus did it all on the cross for you. You're going to see things in yourself that you know need work until the day you die. Because we hope, we wait, and it's a hard wait. It is a hard wait for the hope of righteousness, perfection, by faith. Because I don't really appear now what I'm going to be. For when I see him, I will be like him. Until then, I'm a work in progress. And I am not going to arrive at perfection here upon this planet while I'm still breathing planet air and I'm a human being. And so I must learn to accept this verse and to accept this wait. I'm waiting for the hope of total righteousness, of total perfection. Now, we've already received that by faith through Christ, and I'm already perfect in God's eyes in Christ. But the working out of it in my body, and the working out of it in my thinking, and the working out of it in the things I say and the mistakes I make won't be totally complete until heaven. That's when I'll be like him completely, when I see him face to face. And so this is something I've got to deal with. And it's only dealt with through faith. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for the continual cleansing in my life. Lord, I thought this bad thought again, and God, I'm so sorry. And the Lord forgives and cleanses, and we move on. And we have to stay away from the condemnation Satan will bring because we're imperfect. We have to stay away from that because it leads to devastation, depression, and all kinds of lily-livered things that aren't good. And so we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And how does that work? How does that all gel? How can we explain this? Next verse, verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, that is being Jewish, avails anything, or uncircumcision, if you're a non-Jew, a Gentile, it doesn't matter. But faith, which works how? By love. Faith works by love. We love him because he first loved us. In having faith in the finished work of Christ, we're actually having faith in the powerful, wonderful love of God. That he loved us so much, he displayed his love, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us on the cross. That at Christmas time, as you've probably seen in signs and bumper stickers before, is when love comes down from above. Jesus, born as a baby, to live a sinless life, being tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. To trade that life for our life, that we might be perfected before God. And we're on his conveyor belt, being changed from a block of wood to a china doll. And I love that imagery. It just makes sense to me. Again, I'm a simple-minded man. You just take a block of wood and it hurts when they cut. You know, I mean, it hurts. you go through some trials, some hard hits and so forth, and the hits of life, but at the end you're this China doll with rosy cheeks and little lipstick, you know. You've made it. You're done. You've been baked. The oven's over. The, you know, the microwave goes, ding, done, he's done. And that's the way it works. And so there's some pain involved. There's some times when the vines are empty and the flocks are gone and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter. Faith says this doesn't matter. Don't look at this. According to your word. What does your word say again? Oh yeah, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, I'll take that, Lord. Take no thought of what you're going to eat or drink, for after these things the non-believers seek. But you seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. Oh, okay, God, I'll take that. I love what the Lord said to Joshua, and I'm just kind of developing this for the New Year's Eve message. Every place you put your foot is yours. And so that's what where we really get the saying, standing on the word, standing on the promises of God. And there's a song like that, isn't there? Standing on, standing on the promises of God. Every place you put your foot is yours. The just shall live by what? Faith in a finished work of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, what this does for you, and you can probably feel it happening in your chest right now, it lifts your heart. Can this be true? Some of you are probably saying, can this be true? Others are going, oh, I'm so glad to remember that. Lifts your heart. Because we're waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, this isn't to excuse sin. Never use this as a license to sin. But the serious-minded seeking Christian, and most of them come on Wednesday night. They're the midweek service people. Oh, don't say that to anybody. The serious-minded seeking Christians that are just in this for an everyday life, you're going to feel guilty. Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you realize that you do stuff wrong. And sometimes it's you just go, man, am I ever going to get it right? You know? And it can drive you right into the ground. But we've got to catch hold of these promises, these scriptures like this one. That if you spend a lot of time beating yourself, the devil will help you with that. And you'll remain there. And I go, were you baptized in lemon juice? Or you know, all the time just bummed out. The joy isn't in who you are, what you can do. The joy is in the realization that I'm looking for Jesus, who is my righteousness. And as I get my eyes off of me and onto him, things get better and I can stand up and walk again. And I can smile and I can say, Lord, thank you that you're the one that's in charge of this whole deal. And so I'm waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. Let's say it together, just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The Lord started that in the Old Testament, and he didn't change it. And he says it in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. He says it again in Galatians, the just shall live by faith. And that is the truth of it. Let's go ahead and stand and pray together. Father, we're so thankful to you, Lord, that as we make our mistakes and, Lord, kind of trip over ourselves once in a while, or maybe some days a lot, Lord, you're always there to pick up the pieces, to pick us up, to brush us off, because you're in charge of this whole program. And, Lord, thank you for the fact that when we see our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be like him. And all of this will be finished. And so, Lord, that's where we look. And Father, in Jesus' name, help us now, Lord, to know that you're not against us, but you're for us, no matter how much we're accused by the enemy. So, Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that you would work with us more and more every day, being daily conformed to your image. Lord, we want to move quickly away from the things that displease you in our lives. And Lord, while you're doing that and helping us, that we would always, always remember that we're waiting for the hope of perfection, the hope of righteousness by faith. And so, Jesus, thank you so very much for that wonderful, wonderful promise. And Lord, bless my brothers and sisters mightily, deeply, wonderfully, Lord. Help them to, each one of us, Lord, to enjoy Christmas to the fullest and understand just a little more, Lord, what you did when you decided to come and be with us. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. Thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thus says the Lord, I have formed you. I have made you. You are mine. I have bought you with the precious blood of my Son. You will be worked on by me until you're done. And when your testimony is over, you will come to live with me forever. I am your God. You are my children. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for the faith that's here. And Father, would you please increase our faith, Lord? And thank you that you have been tonight, Lord, through the hearing and the word, Lord. Thank you. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word. So may the Lord bless you richly, deeply, fully, give you all that you need in him. And he's working on that every day, so close to you. He's so intimate with you. And if you need prayer for anything that you would like to stay and pray some more, you can just hang out and pray. So God bless you and keep you and lead you in Jesus' name. Amen.